In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope it's good to have us back and to be a mass for each of you. It's good for us to be back and to be with you. We enjoyed our time at the convocation. We thank you for our prayers. Today, we have the feast of St. Faustina Kowalska. She is one of these new saints who's been entered into the calendar and has many graces. And that's why the mass readings all had to do with good virgins. In truth, what I wish I could do would be to repeat for you word for word everything it is that Bishop Smith gave today at the convocation. He is a great speaker, as you well know, and shared something very powerful about the life of St. Faustina, but also of another man who's put up for canonization. Maybe someday he will be. He spoke about the life of Father Stu and how God's mercy was evident through Father Stu. And you may recall that he studied at Mount Angel. One thing that is important for you and I to recognize about Sister Faustina is that she had a very difficult life as she went about. She wasn't a woman who was blessed with extraordinary circumstances, and after she had these extraordinary meetings with Christ throughout the whole of her life, that she immediately had a perfect life. That everybody said, wow, Sister Faustina, we love you, glad that God is speaking to you, I'm happy that your life is, for now, we're just going to make sure that everything goes well for you. Not the way for anyone in life. When God speaks to us, it's usually that we're subjected to a test, that difficulty is placed within our life. When God calls us to something, he always calls us to it. And the only way to answer generously with it is by embracing the cross, which he so generously bestows upon his friends. St. Faustina Kowalska was disbelieved by so many in her life. Because she had received messages and because she was living her out life so well, she was not praised by her sisters, but rather persecuted by her sisters. There were many jealousies that were taken against her. There were many who suspected her of some sort of treachery. There were others among her superiors who thought that she was just a worthless character because she wasn't as strong as the other, because she didn't have as great a constitution as others might have had, and so was not able to complete tasks as well. She struggled much like our beloved St. Therese in this life. And so she often had to endure abuses and difficulties in life. She was moved from convent to convent. She knew that God was calling her to something greater, but everybody else was saying, don't go there. This is not what God's will is for you. And time again, as she heard the voice of the Lord speaking to her and saying, yes, this is what I want for you, everybody in authority over her said, no, no. And so she suffered greatly for a long period of time, just wanting to say yes to Jesus. In our Lord's words, if you read the Diary of Divine Mercy over and over again, are words of consolation to Faustina, who constantly said, Lord, find somebody better. Find somebody who they'll treat better. Find somebody who is a better vessel for what it is, the message that you have to bring. I'm not the one. They're not going to listen to me. Just let me be alone and find somebody who will be able to do it better. And what do we know from even just a cursory look at Scripture? Every time the Lord calls somebody to a particular message within the prophets, they feel the same way. Your Lord, you have used me so greatly. Find somebody better. That's the kind of heart that endears one to the Lord. If they remain saying, but Lord, if you want it, then I'll stay. If you really want me, I'll do whatever it is that you want. And such was the disposition of St. Faustina. Such was the disposition of Holy Moses. Such was the disposition of Jeremiah. Such was the disposition as well of Hosea. Such was the disposition of Joel. Such was the way in which Haggai and Malachi and all these great authors, all these great speakers, all these great men of faith, all throughout the centuries and so many of the saints that you know well. What our Lord is calling of you and I to be able to take in these times is a thing of mercy in the perseverance and listening to what God has to say and realizing that maybe it's not something that I get to see fulfilled in every moment of my life. Maybe the Lord is desiring that others be a block within my life to the very thing that he desires, and so by suffering just as he suffered, he can prove me to be even a greater vessel for him and for his message to have greater impact when he desires it to be brought forth. How often do you and I, when we're struggling toward holiness, which I could probably say about every single one of you who is here, not just because I've seen your life, but because you're here right now, on a day when you don't actually have to be here, and so you want something more of God, and often what that means is that we lay heavy burdens upon our own soul, striving to take on more and more, and sometimes that more and more crushes us. But the Lord doesn't place those burdens upon us. His burden is a burden of mercy. And his only desire is to bring each of our souls into deep and profound relationship with him, but it's not according to your plan or according to my plan. Not according to the way in which I think I need to do these things, so I'm going to take on these tasks. It's something that says, God, I want to do what you want, and so I feel directed in this way, but if it seems to be too much, I'm willing to step back from my plan. And know that stepping back from my plan isn't something that makes me a failure in God's sight, but rather it's something that disposes me to say, God, what is your will for me indeed? And that's the only thing I wish to bind myself.